Blog Talk Radio.
From the San Francisco Bay Area, it's time for Live from the Bay with Joe. Stay tuned. What can one say about a Grammy and Dove Award winning singer and songwriter that hails from the first family of country gospel music, the daughter of legendary gospel great Dottie Rambo, except for amazing? Her origins go back to those hills of Kentucky, and she has been singing ever since she can remember. At the young age of 13, she starts to travel, record, and tour with her mother and father, Buck and Dottie Rambo. Later, in the 1970s, she starts her own solo career touching the contemporary Christian music market with her unique, vibrant, and soulful sounds that are a hybrid of country meets soul with a modern twist. She goes on to tour with Andre Crouch and so continues to make a significant mark within the contemporary music market. Many years later, after her great songwriting award, she continues weaving music. Her marriage to singer, songwriter, pastor Donnie McGuire has also been legendary. Their children, Dion, Destiny, and Israel, follow in the family tradition with a heart for God and for music. All the way from Nashville, Tennessee, can you help me welcome back on Live from the Bay with Joey, Reba Rambo McGuire. Reba, thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be here, Joey. Wonderful.
It's great to have you. And part one of this interview was absolutely tremendous. I know people just loved it. And part two is going to be great as well. So I just want to start this right in with asking you, as a singer and songwriter myself, I know that songs can be born out of inspiration or much of what like I like to call perspiration and many rewrites. And so I'm going to ask you, as a songwriter, when do you know that song is finished and ready to share with the world?
Well, you know, let me just say, from a lot of it, you know, it's from years of experience. You know, it's from the doing of it. You know, say, and people say, how do you write a song? You write a song by writing a song. It's like, how do you learn to ride a bicycle? You ride a bicycle. It's in the doing. Now, for me, it was such a blessing. You know, I had Dottie Rambo for a mom. So it was, I had a born mentor in the house. Even my mother never really said, hey, I'm going to teach you how to write a song. But it was just, I learned by observation with her. I learned by watching her travail over songs, you know, and the living through of the writing and watching the process, which was great. But so many young writers, you know, if I was going to learn the piano, you know, I don't expect the first thing I play on the piano to be Rachmaninoff. No, it's probably going to be Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Right.
But for whatever reason, a lot of young writers think their first few songs out of the chute are going to be the We Shall Behold Him or whatever, and they're not. Because Jesus said, if you want to understand how the kingdom works, everything in the kingdom is as a seed.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see, the more that I've nurture the seed, water the seed, fertilize the seed, work with the seed, the stronger it becomes. Mm. And so now, after all these years, you know, I wrote my first real song. I started writing poetry when I was 5, but I started writing songs when I was 15. But now it's out of the depth of knowledge, the discipline of being a writer. You know, I study writing. I have probably 50 to 70 books just on writing alone. I teach writing now, but so much of that has come from the process of the doing of writing and being around, surrounding myself with great writers, surrounding myself with great books that I actually read,
mm-hmm.
and learning to treasure words. My mother was such a wordsmith. You know, the mm-hmm. only book I ever saw my mother read was the Bible. You mm-hmm. know, I'm the voracious reader, but she loved to be read too. But mother was a listener and a gleaner, and she loved to think about words, to search for the right word. She had a passion for that and taught me to have a passion for lyrics and how songs are constructed. Mother would take a song and tear it apart in this way. Why is that song successful? What is the pattern of the rhyme? What's the structure of that song? She would mm-hmm. study a song like others would study architecture. But mm. And mother had those moments, as we all do as writers, that there are those epiphanies, there are those God comes down moments, like when she wrote "We Shall Behold Him." But honestly, there were probably a handful of those in her life and in my life. You know, mm-hmm. Donnie and I literally, we just were going over our catalog, and together, what I've written by myself, what he's written, together we have over 600 songs.
Right.
But in those, a handful have been those epiphanies. But most of them, God gives an idea, you study, you work, you tear it apart, you rewrite mm-hmm. it. Being a great writer is one of the most disciplined crafts that I know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then I think you touched a little bit on this, but my next question was, are you a word collector? So a lot of times I find myself doing that. Like I'll see something that's written and I'll write it down. I hear something on TV and I go, ah, that's interesting. I read something on a billboard and I write it down.
We call them hook books. I have a notebook with me and to write down ideas like that. And Bill Gaither does that. You know, every time we get together, he gets that. He's got a dark green hook book that he's had for years. And those mm-hmm. are just concepts, words, ideas, thoughts. You know, mm-hmm. The other day we wrote a song just recently called In Good Hands, and mm-hmm. he had that idea in his hook book for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a phenomenal song. Andrew Prim is doing it. But it's, you know, it's one of those things. If you go in to write and you don't take a lump of clay with you, how can you form anything? Mm-hmm. But as writers, we are always listening. I'm always listening for something. I have a particular ear, just like a painter has an ear. My son's
right.
a video director. He sees things in a frame for video.
Right.
But as a writer, I'm listening for those ideas, those concepts, because I am a writer.
Right.
And that's what I do. I'm a writer. So mm-hmm. I learned to do that. And it's just, it's one of the most exciting things. And when we talk about being a word collector, you would laugh because I literally have glass bowls in my house with words in them. It's just so fun. When I teach writing, I said, you know, sometimes just to reach in the bowl, and it's just one of those things to stir up the gifts within you.
Absolutely. Now, sometimes I'm truly perplexed at some poor lyrical contents in songs today. And have you ever noticed this as well? And if so,
don't get me started.
And if so, do you have any insights why that might be?
Well, you know, one thing I think is we have a lack of mentors.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lack of people saying, "Let me take you by the hand and help you in your gift." Because I do hear songs that are not even scripturally correct.
Right.
They're so poorly written. They try to pass things off for rhymes that are nowhere near rhymes. But let me give you an example. Years ago, we worked on a show with Al Kasha, who wrote Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, who's won Academy Awards. He does all kinds of Broadway things.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked with him, and it was one of the most interesting learning experiences because for Broadway, they have a standard. Before every show, the critics are given copies of the lyrics. And if they start seeing rhyme schemes that don't match, if they start seeing things that are not pure rhyme, they will eat your lunch because that is their standard. Sadly, in the church, where we should be the standard of excellence, excellence doing the best you can with what you have. And we try to pass things off that are not scripturally sound. They're poorly constructed. The melodies are so boring. You know, I'm not talking about everything, but I'm saying there's so much of that. And because people perish for lack of knowledge, sometimes we have a lack of knowledge of what is excellent in the musical world. And what Di and I have such a desire to do is to raise up young people that they are the standard, that we are the standard of excellence. And that's what we should be. I mean, the church, it all started in the church. The church had the greatest, in the temple, they had the greatest musicians. They had the greatest dancers. Some people don't want to know about that part, but they did. It was professional, creative people. It was a community of creativity. And that's what we should have. Mm-hmm. Every church musician should not be somebody that doesn't know anything about music.
Right.
We should be the standard.
Right.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I remember a while ago, years ago, I was asked to evaluate some lyrics on behalf of this Christian organization. Actually, they were out of Tennessee and I think Franklin area. And they asked me if I wouldn't mind doing that because I guess a couple of their people had heard a couple of my tunes. So I said, sure, I'd be more than happy to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, that was a real interesting process in my life because in evaluating some of the songs and some of the lyrics, some people didn't like what they heard or what I wrote back because I was causing them to go out of their comfort zone. And I remember a couple of things that I got back was comments back, Joey, God gave me the song. How could it be wrong?
Right. Let me say this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, because I've had people say that to me too, and the songs were pitiful.
Right.
My first comment is, hey, I'm not saying God didn't give you the song. Perhaps God, I believe you. God gave you this song. But everything that God gives us is not for to be consumed by everybody.
Correct.
I mean, I have songs that nobody has ever heard but the Lord and me. It's silly little things between he and I. It's a very personal thing. But does that mean I need to try to get it on the next homecoming video? No, it's something between God and myself. That's why we need someone that knows more than us, that has walked the path longer, to be able to say, you know what, that's a sweet idea. I'm so glad you have it. But that's not for mass consumption. Or that's just for this local church because the pastor preached the message and it's very meaningful to this house, but it's not meaningful to the body of Christ at large.
Mm-hmm.
And to not be offended, you know, the mark of real maturity is that you're teachable, that you're correctable, that you're not offended. And instead of saying, you know, this is mine and how dare you mess with it, it came straight from the throne, well, I've learned something. God is always speaking. My hearing is intermittent. Sometimes I hear real clearly. Sometimes I don't. But to have someone who loves you enough to say, I don't want you to make an idiot out of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to send these to a publisher and them send some back that's really mean.
Right.
Let me help you. But that's why there in my heart is a real cry, where are the mentors? Where are the mothers? Where are the fathers in giftings? And not to be mean, but you know, my song is not me. It's not, it comes through me, but it's not me. But if somebody doesn't like my song, I can't get offended. There are people that love Barbara Streisand and those that hate her, you know. But does that mean she can sing or not? Of course she can sing. But we all have our own particular appetites in music and songs and whatever. But there is a standard, it should be, that something is well constructed. Mm-hmm. And that's up to us to learn our craft, to really understand the craft of writing.
Absolutely.
And not just blame God for bad stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks. So, Reba, I talked to you a little about this before, but I'm going to make you think a little here, okay? So a few years back, I was leading worship at a function here in Northern California, not too far from home, and Brother Hardwick of Christ Church in Nashville was there, and it was a conference, and it was an organization that he started, which I believe is Global Christian Ministries. After the service, he came up to me and he said, from the minute you started singing, I knew that you must have been originally from that same denomination I was from. And the same thing happened when I was at Kenny Foreman's church in San Jose. I had two music ministers that knew that I had this Pentecostal sound. Now, I know that that Pentecostal denomination has birthed many, many great, prolific singers and songwriters that have a strong, deep sense and strength from the Lord, evident not only in lyrical content, but when they write a song, but also when they sing. So it's a voice in the ministry and the fervor. And these greats are way too many to mention, but again, your family, the Rambos, Jaron and Becky Davis, Lanny Wolf, Vicky Yohe, Christ Church Choir, Becky Fender, Landy and Joy Gardner, the Scots, and many, many more, and ones now that are in there, like Madonna Massey, Karen Harding, IBC Choir, and the list goes on and on. And I just want to know, in your opinion, as a great singer and songwriter, and somebody that's really tuned into the Spirit, what might the reason be that there's so many tremendous writers and singers from that movement? Because I'm really kind of baffled. I don't know. I'm not sure why. And maybe you can give me kind of like your opinion.
It is a mystery, Joey, but there are so many. You mentioned some of our friends. Jaron and Becky Davis were over at our house a couple of nights ago. We had just a fun party and a sing-along, and we sang and sang and sang, and it was mm-hmm. so much fun. But you're right. I don't know. I mean, I have several thoughts on that.
Okay.
For one, I think back in the day when we all began mm-hmm. in that denomination among the people, there was such a passion for presence,
mm-hmm.
for the presence of the Lord. It was so honored, so mm-hmm. revered. And all of us, it was like a thing in us, a heart cry going up that we have to have presence. And so we, part of our training, if you will, was to invoke presence. It wasn't just assuming he would be there. We know God is everywhere, but I'm talking about that manifest presence where he lives,
right.
He thrives, he functions, he performs. And there was a heart cry in us to invoke that presence mm-hmm. and an understanding of that. And it was one of those things, nobody tried to sing cute. Yeah, I get kind of humor because Donnie and I do a lot of mentoring. I mentor a lot of, especially writers. I have a whole writer's guild that I've been developing, and I mentor a lot of writers and even artists, and some of them just have to be so cute. And you just got to have the right little look, and I love all that. You want to be excellent, but it's trying to sing, you know, and not... You know, my mother's face was all over the place when she sang. Mine too. It was just, there was, the presence was greater than how we looked.
Mm-hmm.
And in that denomination, of course, and I'm going to walk carefully through this minefield if I can, but when you, there were a lot of other things that were not permitted.
Correct.
At that time, when we
right.
were growing up, there was not a lot of TV, there was not a lot of other things. What we
right.
had was church.
That's right.
You know, we didn't have a lot of other things that we went to or did.
That's
church
right.
was like the greatest entertainment in the world for us.
Right.
It was the greatest place to be.
Yep.
But there was something about it that you, there was none of that, how slick can we be? There was no slick.
Right.
It was just, let's get up here and singing, real singing.
Yep.
You know, where you actually sang parts and you understood, was so celebrated. Now sometimes I go into churches and I'm like, you don't even know how to sing. Or I
yeah.
meet young people that say, how do you do parts? And they're 15 years old. You know, I'm like, and that's not their fault. That is a disservice that we have done them by not saying, let me teach you, you know, how to sing parts. I know that sounds so simple, but it's true. And some of the songs that are sung in churches, and I am a worshiper, but some of them, my friend Gloria Gaither says, you know, they pick one really kind of bad line and sing it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Well,
yeah.
Back in the day, I mean, you were singing something meaty. There was
mm-hmm.
substance to what you sang. Because you had substance to what you were singing, then there was a passion that went with it,
mm-hmm.
and it was powerful. And I'm not dogging anything today. And I understand everything evolves. But, you know, Scripture says, out of the treasury of the old and the new. Some of the churches that are so into... You know, everything is all new and nobody knows what's going on. I said, you know, it's got to be the balance. It's the treasury of the old and the new. But there was substance to the songs. There
mm.
was a passion in the people for the presence of God. And there was none of this, you know, you got to be so cute. It was just sing from your heart. And when a gift manifested, or when an anointing, as we call it, manifested, it was celebrated.
Yeah.
It was really celebrated.
I thank you so much for giving me, because that gives me a more clear perspective, and it's wonderful
mm-hmm.
to hear your thoughts and your perspective on that. Now, let's talk about great sounds and singers, and I've always admire the way that you and Donnie have written and the way you have
Thank
sung.
You.
And that being said, what better way to recognize that than hearing one of your duets that you do together? This, again, is from the Reba and Donnie CD entitled Reba and Donnie, The Noteworthy Collection, Volume 1 and 2. And the song is simply this: I See Jesus in You. Reba, is it really true that you and Donnie are already grandparents?
Yes, we have a 9-year-old grandson, Dyson, that's from our oldest daughter, Dion. She and her husband, Scott. So we have a 9-year-old grandson. Now, other children, Destiny is 26, Israel's 24, and they're not married yet. But we have one grandson, and he rules the roost.
Is that right?
He's fabulous, and he's so smart. Of course, I sound absolutely like a grandparent, I know. But he's very, very smart, very, very funny, and amazing vocabulary because his mother is, you know, just loves words too. His father's very smart. So it's when we go on family vacations, he is the entertainment.
Now, does Dion also, I know, so at your mom's homegoing service that they had at Christ Church.
Right.
I know that Dion and Destiny sang together. So does Dion continue to sing?
She sings, and she also works in interior design with her stepfather. She's a great little designer, but she sings on a lot of sessions. And then she travels a lot on the weekends and sings. It's more like top 40 type things. But she is such a great little singer. She sings on many, many demos, a lot of ours too, but she's so gifted. And our son-in-law, although we call him our son-in-love because the law doesn't make me love him, our son-in-love, Scott, he is involved in the political arena and is a brilliant, wonderful young man. We just couldn't be happier than their relationship together. He was, you know, when Dion was young, she dated, as most girls do, just some real kind of crazy guys. And Donnie one day challenged her and said, Dion, why don't you quit doing all that and just give yourself a year to really marry the Lord and pursue, you know, becoming whole within yourself and who you are? And for actually 2 years, she didn't date. And then one day she came in the house and Scott was with her. And I'd heard about Scott. And Dion was living in New York working off Broadway. But she was home. She brought Scott in. She talked a lot about him, like her friend Scott. And they were just great buddies. And he walked in our house, and Dion introduced us, and I shook his hand, and the Lord said, "That's him." And so when I pulled Donnie aside. I said, "That's him." He said, "What do you mean that's him?" I said, "That's the one." And he said, "Well, honey, they're just friends." I said, "That's the one." And of course, I didn't say a word to anyone else but Donnie. And about a year and 3 months later, they were married. I mean, literally one day they said, "Wow, you know, this is way beyond friendship," and it was just a God thing. And he's a blessing.
Oh, that's awesome! That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing that story. And now I want the listeners to listen to this one song that's on Reba's "The Lady's Treasury," and it's entitled "Desert Dreams."
Oh, aces will
For those listeners that want more information on Reba and Donnie's music, the Ministry of the Rambos, including as well as Buck Rambo, Destiny in Israel, and you want to purchase those CDs of music, you want to stay abreast of their music and their ministry, please visit that website. Again, it's RamboMaguire.com. Reba, I'm wondering, what else can we find on that website on RamboMaguire.com?
Like, you know, a lot of our older products, you know, they can find on there because sometimes they're a little bit difficult to track down. And, you know, and we do like a once a month newsletter so they can kind of find out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great little tool for that. And right now there's, you know, just a lot of different things going on. Destiny's in Charlotte working with Inspirational Network on launching a new thing, worship type thing for young people. So she's flying back and forth every week. Israel's directing videos, you know, Donnie's helping produce, we're writing, like I said, with Bill and Gloria so much, so it's, the whole family is very busy right now,
mm-hmm.
but it's great, it's a great mm-hmm. thing, it really mm-hmm. is, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah, there you go. So, I got to share something with you, Reba. I have this thing for coffee, I love it, it inspires
mm-hmm.
me, outside of the Lord, maybe because I have money invested in Starbucks, I'm not sure, but when if we weren't confined by the miles between you and I, between Tennessee and me here in Northern California, and we were sitting chatting at a Starbucks and sharing about life and music and all, and I think I just gave Starbucks 2 free commercials. Anyway, back to my question. It's been, as you said earlier, you know, in the first part of this interview, it's been 4 years since your mom's passing, or homegoing, like,
right.
So to speak, almost 5 years. Gospel great Dottie Rambo. I'm sure there was some pain in that, but also great joy knowing that she's singing in the heavens. And I kind of want to know, how did her passing change and impact your life?
Well, you know, of course, it was the most tragic thing that I had
right.
gone through, or we'd gone through as a family, the way it happened so right. suddenly on that May 11th, that Mother's Day. It was
right.
just, you know, it was tragic. But
right.
once you kind of start going through the process,
right.
that, you know, first of all, we were in mourning, not grief, because grief says, I've lost something.
Right.
The first time after my mother's death, when people would say, I'm so sorry you lost your mother, I heard my mouth say, I haven't lost her. I know exactly where she's at.
Absolutely.
I've lost nothing. And I began to think of her life as a seed. And then I had an amazing, I don't know, Joe, if it was a dream or a vision. It was one of those places that you know, you're about asleep and about awake, but I saw my mother in the heavenlies, and she was so beautiful,
mm-hmm.
She was light, but she was so beautiful, and she was worshiping. She had this red outfit on, I'll never forget it. And in the vision, the Lord brought out, and it was like a Joseph coat, multicolored, the most fabulous to the floor, huge cape type thing.
Right.
But when I looked closer, into the cape, into the coat, it was composed of prayers and songs and people. It was alive. It was a breathing thing.
Wow.
And when he put it around her shoulder, she threw her head back and laughed, as only my mother could laugh. And when she did, the coat went into, like you would think of, millions of butterflies, and it began to fall to the earth, and pieces of that began to land on people. And it was as if the mantle the Lord had put on her was falling on the earth into so many people, and even to a greater dimension. It was such healing to me to realize that her life was a seed that will produce fruit, and that her passion for God, for excellence, to write the music of the kingdom, I believe is being replicated and demonstrated, you know, around the world by people. So when the Lord was so good to show me that, it became even more of a passion of mine to stir up the gift of writing in people and to be a mentor in that way. But I have felt her, you know, so many times. The other morning I had an experience. I was in my dressing room, sitting at my dressing table putting on makeup, and I felt this presence come up behind me, and it was her perfume. Mm-hmm. Well, going to the experience, but it was so, so powerful and so real and so clear, and I received some very clear direction. But, you know, we have been raised that heaven was way, you know, going up yonder and all that. But it's not a geographic location. Heaven is a breath away. It's a dimension away.
Right.
And when we began to realize, you know, Jesus, I believe, walked with a foot in two worlds, one in the earth and one in that heavenly dimension. He would say things like, I don't do anything I don't see my Father do. I don't say anything I don't hear my Father say. So he could make withdrawals and deposits in either dimension. And Mother was very much like that. But I believe it's made me more aware of that dimension. I know that there are times that my mother and Vestal are in the face of God.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I understand you saying all that. There's going to be a new book that will be birthed real soon. Is that correct?
Soon is kind of relative because I haven't finished it yet.
I see.
There's a lot of it that's completed. But honestly, we have been on so many projects and so many things.
Mm-hmm.
But I will be completing it soon. But it's a lot of the stories behind her songs. Because you realize that almost all of Mother's biggest songs, I was there when she wrote them.
Yeah, so.
You know, I was singing with them or physically with them. There are a couple of exceptions. But, you know, the years that she wrote the bulk of her great music, I was there. And so at first when I tried to write the book, it was very difficult because I'm like, what voice do I use? How do I do this? And finally when I felt myself being given permission to write it from my viewpoint as someone that watched it happen, and once I could use my own voice, then it's been pretty easy to write the stories.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so profound, and some of them so funny, some of them so... there are tear jerkers, and then there's a lot of comedy too, because so many things, you know, we're born out of funny things that happen. And there's
Absolutely.
No way to put them all in a book, but we can start with volume one.
Well, and you know, thanks for sharing that with me. And I know that, well, going back to what you just said earlier, you know, that I know that there's an impartation of her work still at work and within your family. And that's so amazing, and that's so awesome, and it's really true to the scripture that says, he that has begun a good work in you shall complete it. And even when we go on to glory, that work still continues. So we thank God for the life and the work of Dottie Rambo, and it still continues, folks.
Yes, it does.
Through her family. So I want to hear one of your mama's songs from the Rambo's Greatest Hits CD, shall we? And the song is entitled, Tears Will Never Stain the Street of That City.
I guess if my heart were a window, that the whole wide world could look through. Oh, the pain and scars you would see. But tears will never stain the streets of that city, nor wreath of death on my
of a loved one, cause the grave seems so final and cold. But we'll meet again where death has no victory, in a land where we'll never grow old.
Never met one man without sorrow, and I've never looked into eyes with no pain. But I know a land where grief is a stranger, and so
recently have a star added in Music City's Walk of Fame in Nashville. Is that right?
She absolutely did.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And now, when was that?
That was last year. I'm trying to think. I think it was June. But what was amazing to see her honored among so many of the country greats that were there, to see there be a lasting tribute, in our city that she loved, my mother loved. She still loves the city.
Mm-hmm.
And to be there, and of course, I was able to speak, and God showed up downtown Nashville. It was amazing. But
wow.
And the children there, and all of us to be a part of it. And my dear friend Reba McIntyre was there, and it was so fun. We both snotted and cried over the star there, and it was just so exciting and so humbling too.
Absolutely. Well, I want to hear another one of these songs, and let's hear another one of your mother's songs. And this is from your award-winning Grassroots Rambo CD, Mama Always Had a Song.
Winter's dreary and long on Kentucky mountains. Cold and the snow is wet and deep. I remember happy trapping, swamp rabbits and wildcat holler. More than once that was all we had to eat. Winter passed and summer filled the mountain. The warm wind smelled of corn and golden grain. rain. Happy spent his last dollar on the crops down in the holler. Then the flood rushed in and washed them all away. But my mama always had a song to sing. She taught me that a melody could change most anything. So I wipe away my tears. Mama, sing me home, sweet home, and nearer, my God, to thee. And love, Mama, love lifted me. Start turning brown on Kentucky hillside. Old friends pay their last respects today. Now the preacher was Mama's best friend, and he said, son, I'm gonna miss her amens, but she's happy singing on holy hills today. 'Cause my mama always had a song to sing. Taught me that a melody could change most anything. So I wipe away my tears. Preacher, sing me home, sweet home, and nearer, my God, to thee. And love, preacher, love, my mama taught me love.
Enjoyed having you here. It just, the time flew by. I would love to have you back on here sometime in the near future, even with Donnie and your family, and talk more about songwriting, how to develop, utilize those skills in with the writing craft. And in fact, please keep me in mind in the future when you're having one of those songwriting classes, your writing room. I would sure love to be invited to one of those events. And if ever you're out here in California, Pacific Northwest, and you want to set one up, I'd be more than happy to help you set one up, okay?
Okay, that's awesome.
And again, folks, the website for Reba and Donnie McGuire and their family is the following, RamboMcGuire.com. And Reba, again, many, many thanks for joining with all of us today and being a part of Live from the Bay with Joey. Whenever you and Donnie and your family are out here in the San Francisco Bay Area, please let me know. And again, also thank Dan, who works for you at the River Music City. What a great guy. He really made this interview easy to set up.
Wonderful.
And folks, we want you to keep listening to Live from the Bay with Joey for some new and exciting guests and topics. And also in the future, we will be having another tribute to the Rambos, to their music. So stay tuned for that. Until the next time, this is Joey saying take care, and we're going to hear a song going out from that new Grassroots Rambos CD. And this song is entitled, He Ain't Never Done Me Nothing But Good.